scripture reading for today, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter, beginning with verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There are times in our lives when we observe what you might call misplaced confidence. Maybe it's in a child who thinks that their talents or abilities or skills are beyond what they really are. And maybe in a sporting event or possibly some other venue where they put themselves out there to do something and end up failing miserably. Or it even happens sometimes to nations and countries and dictators and armies that miscalculate their power and their ability and what they can perform. And they have great confidence in what they can do, and yet in the end that confidence ends up being a horrible miscalculation. The important key that all of us learn as we go through life, as we hear from the words of the famous theologian Clint Eastwood, a man ought to know his limitations. A man's got to know his limitations. And we are certainly very limited as fallen human beings. But the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ should fill us with a different type of confidence. A confidence that is not miscalculated or just made up in our minds or imagined, but it is a confidence that God wants you and me to have based upon the accomplished work of our Savior and what he has already done for us. And on the fact that this very Son of God himself physically, powerfully rose again from the dead. And there are four essential things for you and me to take away from Easter as far as giving us true confidence that is grounded not in the frailties of man, but in the power of the Almighty God. First of all, confidence that this one you are putting your trust in truly is the Son of God. He truly is the one, as Paul says, who is able to subdue all things to himself. He is the one who can control the seas, control the winds, who determined exactly where the mountains should be set, how deep the oceans are, who can count every hair on your head and on your body, the one who knows and can read our thoughts and minds, this very all-powerful God is the one who rose again from the dead. St. Paul says, because of that empty grave, he says, Christ was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection. So first of all, that you can have confidence in this one you are believing and trusting in. Secondly, that the payment, have confidence that the payment that he has offered to God on your behalf has been completely accepted, that everything about it has done what it was supposed to accomplish. When I was your age, college students typically didn't use credit cards. Most of us had checkbooks, and when you went to write a check in most stores, if it was over $20, you had to wait while a person looked through a little file box on the counter to make sure you weren't on their bad checklist. And it took a little bit of a while. The higher the amount of money, sometimes if it was a big purchase, they'd even have to call a bank and make sure that this check was going to clear. So they would, once you made the payment, it would be held for a while before it was actually approved and accepted. When the Son of God went to the cross on Good Friday, in his holy sacred blood, he wrote out the payment for your sins. Every one of them, no matter what they are, no matter how deeply they bother your conscience, he wrote out the payment in his blood and with his life when he went to the cross that day. And then Good Friday night, God the Father looked at and studied that payment. And all day Saturday, as Christ lay in the grave, and Easter morning was God's stamp of approval on that payment covering every one of your sins. St. Paul says for us, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The fact that the grave is empty, God wants you to know from that that you can have absolute confidence that every one of the things that maybe trouble your conscience the most and make you the most worried about whether you'll be led into heaven, that every one of those, every one of them, has been covered by the blood of Christ. They are all taken away, and you have now been declared justified and right before God. He opened the grave and took the body of Christ out and made it alive in order to prove that to you. Thirdly, you can have confidence that your own physical body, as a believer in Christ, will someday rise from your grave and be transformed. Paul says, God will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Back in the Old Testament, we remember the story of how the prophet Samuel went to the house of Jesse and went through all of his sons and then finally picked out the youngest shepherd boy, David, the scrawny little kid that came before him, and he anointed him with oil, signifying that this one would now be royalty, that God had selected and chosen him. And even in his weak little body, and with all of his frailties and weaknesses, he would now be the next king of Israel after Saul. God has done that for you and me as well in the waters of holy baptism. When we've been baptized into Christ, he takes our weak, frail, mortal bodies, your very physical body, but has anointed it with his grace through the words of baptism, and has now made you his child and appointed you to belong to the royal family that will now come to heaven. And your physical body, as weak and frail as it is, God chooses not just to use in this life to serve him, but will have it someday be transformed to stand before the throne of Christ. Whenever I would go through the funeral order during the burial of a Christian, I used to love this line that I got to read usually at the committal. May the Lord keep these remains until his coming. Listen to what Luther says. Think of the honor and the glory Christ's righteousness brings even to our bodies. How can this poor, sinful, miserable, filthy, polluted body become like the one belonging to the Son of God, the Lord of glory? Well, who are you to bring about this glorious thing? But human power has nothing to do with it. However, another force intervenes, the power of Christ the Lord, who is able to bring all things into subjection to himself. So it's the power of Christ through faith in your heart that God will now use to raise you up out of your grave. Think what an awesome day that's going to be when the blood actually starts flowing in your veins again and your eyes start to move again and your tongue is loosened again. Just think what an amazing event the resurrection, your personal resurrection, is going to be. And you also now finally have confidence that you can claim heaven as your own, that you have citizenship there, St. Paul says. Every once in a while it happens that in a U.S. embassy around the world, a young couple is there as ambassadors and they have a child. And that child is now a U.S. citizen, even though they've never been to the United States. But they are granted that citizenship and possess it just as fully as somebody who's grown up for generations in the middle of Iowa. That child now has citizenship, even though he's never seen the place where he belongs. So it is for you and me. By God's grace, through the gift of faith, we now are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there who's going to come and take us to the place where we really belong, the land where we already now possess that citizenship, and someday we'll live forever. Easter is an amazing event. It's an amazing event historically to look back upon, but it's not just the Easter of Christ that God wants us to know about. It's the fact that that Easter says something for your future Easter. Think of all the blessings and the gifts that are waiting for you because of an empty grave thousands of years ago outside of Jerusalem. Because of that empty grave, have confidence about your life and about your future, and live for that. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened unto us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly beseech you that as you put in our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring them to good effect through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Please join me in the words of our blessing. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah.